Welcome to The Exhibitionists, a podcast on the weird and wonderful world of international exhibitions, with your hosts, me, Stephanie Selesnik out of Las Vegas, and Anthony Reeve Crook.
And then happy non-denominational festive season for everyone. It would be remiss of us to enter into that period without a good look back over how 2018 may come to be defined by the global exhibition industry. So, I mean, what, Hanukkah's over, Thanksgiving done, dusted, we got Christmas and the New Year, and then if you're Chinese, I guess you got that to look forward to again in February. But what we're looking back at is just what's really come to make this year stand out for us. And Steph, I mean, there's been a hell of a lot, hasn't there? This has been a big year.
You know, I think every year is big. I mean, come on, let's be honest. But this year, yeah, there were a few big stories. You know, acquisitions were one. And collapse of shows was another. You know, they were both, like, I think, two of the biggest stories that...
And they almost bisected the year, didn't they? I mean, it was sort of... The year started off with these huge acquisitions. You know, we had the... obviously, UBM and Informa was sealed earlier this year. What, 5.2 billion, I think, Informa bought UBM for in the end. And then Blackstone came in from outside of the industry, swooped up and bought Clarion.
And not only Clarion, but they also bought the World Market Centers here in Vegas. I mean, they've been on a serious shopping spree coming into business, which is a little weird. Like, it makes you think about, you know, VCs are looking at expos as cash cows, but I think it's been a really interesting year.
Those margins are huge for a lot of people, but they also bought Global Sources, which they then wrapped up into Clarion, which is an interesting move.
And they also bought the Penwell shows.
Yes,
in the energy
sector. That's right.
2018 was also the year of farewells, people. It was the year of farewells. For example, CBIT at the end of the year.
Yeah,
show,
monster.
It had what did it have? Like at one point, a million people coming to
it? 17 years old. And, yeah, I think 15 years ago. I don't know. I have to remember which edition it was. 2007, perhaps, they had a million people walking the show floor. So it's a giant, absolute huge giant. And it's a big loss, but it's also a huge lesson learned, and one compounded by the loss of shows such as, I mean, Baselworld was another
Baselworld is still in existence, and people are saying it's still going to live, but it lost its biggest exhibitor, Swatch Group.
Yeah, that's right.
In a very, very, very public way. The CEO of the Swatch Group came out just with both guns blazing, as we say here in the U.S., which I know is not politically correct in the rest of the world, but if we liken it to the old Western, you know, Old West, both barrels blazing.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think that there is it. You know, an Interbike here in the U.S. was canceled by Emerald, and I think part of it sometimes is trying to reposition shows in a market that's changing, and some are more successful than others. I did a blog not long ago for Trade Show Executive talking about a show called ACES, and it's the number two security show in the market here in the U.S., and they brought in new blood. And believe it or not, they got rid of about 95% of the people on staff and completely repositioned the show into something that was a really, really good quality show when I went to it this last year. And sales are going gangbusters for the next one. So again, it's, you know, is it the beginning of the end of big shows? I'm not so sure. Our good friend Paul Woodward wrote a blog about all of this.
Well, he sort of talked about, if anyone who doesn't know Paul, he was the former MD of UFI, and he runs a company out in BG. What's the name of it? Business
BSG. Group. BSG in Asia, as well as has his own consultancy.
That's right. He currently has his own consultancy. But he wrote a piece talking about, you know, the possibly the days of long corridors and replicated booths are probably, you know, not going to do that well. We're not catalog shoppers anymore. People want engagement that's fresh and new and doesn't require a new pair of shoes at the end of it.
So someone else who wrote a blog about the changing of the shows in the industry is a guy named Michael Hart, H-A-R-T. He's written a bunch of blogs on LinkedIn as well. He was formerly the publisher of Expo Magazine, and he was an editor of mine when I was a blogger there. So he is somebody that I deeply respect. He also ran something called Trade Show Week, which was the advent before the internet. anyway, he said something about how we're really not in communities and it doesn't really matter that way. And I said, if you're doing things right, your show should be an integral part of the industry and community it serves. You know, if you're not in the middle of it, then you're going to be gone. If you're not serving your community and you're just making a buck, you're going to be gone. You know, if we look at our friends from MJ BizCon, in fact, Anthony and I did a blog with them not long ago. You know, they're all about the community and being in the center of the community and growing with the community.
Yeah, and literally growing the community. So when everything's I mean, not to go back over that ground, they had the publication first, didn't they? And then they were literally feeding the industry, saying, how do you legitimize an industry that was in the gray? And they were at the heart of the community development. In fact, we've actually seen that show become enormous in Las Vegas purely because, or largely on the back of the publication itself. So there certainly is a community being served. And I don't agree with Hart there either.
We also saw Interbike here in the US that was run by Emerald, was recently canceled.
Yes, and that goes back over, not to go back over another podcast we've done previously, which was a big issue from 2018 as well, the trade wars and imposition of tariffs and Trumpism and so on, so forth there. But one of the big things that was interesting about Interbike is it was allegedly closed because of the imposition of tariffs on the raw materials, on the metals. So, you know, it's a North American bike sales show, but it's closed because it's now too expensive to import those products. And that's what the organizers were claiming was the reason for the collapse. The exhibitors exhibitors simply weren't there. They didn't have the density. So the show collapsed. Whether that's actually the case or whether it was a bit of mismanagement, we don't know. But I think, again, the organizer of that event left with the show. So
then there's some other things. There's some construction taking place around the planet, right?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, there's the ever, the long-held pursuit of more space in India, which we hear the Dwarka project's now underway. That's 20,000 square meters. Hugely required, but again, follow the money, see where that goes. And when we actually see the bricks, when we see that thing open with its first show in it, then we can talk about it in more depth. You've got this huge super giant venue in Shenzhen.
If you are part of the industry and you've not heard about this venue, so 500,000 square meters, 5 million square feet, and
on the border of Hong Kong, one of the biggest, strongest exhibition centers in the world.
But I kind of feel like talking about them until they open is sort of like, well, okay, let's just see what happens when it opens. I mean, it is a huge construction project. It is being very professionally managed. They are spending a lot of money. They just became a diamond sponsor for UFI. They're supporting this. They're supporting that. They are they're using SMG, which is more of a US-based company, as their management company. And they're really making the rounds and spending a lot of money, but I don't know. I just don't know what it's going to be like, because the two convention centers in Hong Kong are long established, Asia World and the Hong Kong Convention Center, right? What's going to happen? And how are they going to attract shows? Because until they get all the other infrastructure built up, it's going to be a huge building in the middle of nothing.
We've also seen some moves, haven't we? We've seen Kai Hattendorf for UFI. Now he's taken on a presidency role, an honorary role at the... that's not honorary. It's not as executive as it is at UFI. At JMIC, the Joint Meetings Industry Council. So we've seen that the river forded there. We've seen, you know, Congress and exhibitions working in closer partnership. That's interesting.
You know, to me, that just makes sense. I mean, the whole idea of a convex is, you know, for those of you that don't know, in the US, those are normal for us. Those are our typical trade shows, have a huge educational component, whereas in other countries, they don't. So they've even invented a word for it. What is it? Convex? Conference and exhibition? Yeah, we've been doing those for a long time. So
that's why the US leads the world. Yes.
Anthony, what do you think? Give me like one or two predictions for 2019. I think we'd all be interested
Murky water of predicting. What do they call them? Futurologists. Whenever you see them speak at events, they've got the hardest job in the business, because they often quite often come from outside the industry. But as you get this consolidation in the industry, we're going to see more of it next year. That's guaranteed. as you get these giant, huge organizers, we're also seeing at the same time the giant, huge events come down in size or collapse in the instances that we've talked about here. I think you're going to get the net product of that is you're going to get smaller shows with an incredible reach. It'll be organizers with the number of shows they produce will go up and up and up because the organizers homogenize, they unify and become these giant vessels. And the shows will be able to go further and further using the means that these huge organizers have. Yep. So I think show size will come down. It's going to be more inventive. You're going to see a lot less of.
Really? You think so? Because like even with the Informa UBM merger, they're only 4% of the entire global exhibition organizer market.
6%, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I stand corrected. Oops. Yeah. Well,
non-consolidated industry, that 2% means a lot. Once it gets up to 15%, then we go into I wrote a blog on it recently. There's the stages of consolidation. At the moment, we're going to see buy-ups because no one can cede ground to one huge giant like in the past we've had with Reed, for example. It was just Reed and UBM at the top, wasn't it? And Messe Frankfurt.
And Miller Freeman.
These companies grew out of that.
Sorry. So
and Blenheim Group, wasn't it? If you're going back to the provenance of these companies, but once you get to this, I do think we're going to see these companies. They are small, but I think as this consolidation goes on, we are going to see them with an increasing reach for smaller vessels. The question is, what do the new shows look like? And I think like you talked about there, it will be more in the Confex model, or it'll be exhibitors will be coming along and saying, I want more than just a 6x6 or a 10x10 stand. I want options on things like sponsorship and new things beyond that. And I mean, we can go into what they are, but I suggest there's going to be some very creative models used. And looking at companies like Freeman XP, it's not Freeman XP anymore, but just Freeman and GES, you can see that these service providers are now evolving into these experiential, huge, giving marketing options to these companies. And I think we're going to see more of that.
Well, yeah, the whole design market, I don't know. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Design theory. For me, it's a question of going back to basics. I wrote my last blog of the year for UFI was talking about my experience as an exhibitor putting some booths together at a couple of different shows here in the U.S. and what a miserable experience it was. And I think it goes back to, we're always talking about the attendee and we've got to have the attendee and it's always the attendee. But, the exhibitors pay for the show. And that's the bottom line. And I think we have just got to go back to basics, which, by the way, Kai has also taken a different stand on in terms of what the basics are in his transfer for 2019. But I really believe that we have got to get back to basics. We have got to get back to fundamental, true customer service and serving our community. We've got to shush and start listening to our clients. When I referenced that show that did the turnaround at ACES, they had board members and people who wanted to take on new areas and were so enthusiastic about starting new areas of the show that were interactive, that were fun, and eventually were actually profitable because they listened. Not everything is going to be a good idea. But again, part of the reason that the Swatch Group left Baselworld was because they felt like they were being taken advantage of and not listened to. And you've got to do more than just listen. You have to actually walk the walk with your clients.
And I think some of that development, in fact, most of that development will actually happen on the slightly smaller shows. As we've seen with some of these big shows, as you mentioned, at Baselworld, Rene Cam, who was ultimately in charge of the event, did know he had been approached and asked to make changes. But I think it's so difficult to, it's so much more unwieldy. You can turn a boat around, in its length, but it's a much tougher task with a show as large as that. So I think we're going to see some of these smaller shows show us the way to go. And that's why it's going to be an interesting year to see how people actually listen to this and adapt and go on.
Well, that brings us to the end of 2018 and the end of our podcast. What stories impacted you this year? Are there any big ones that you think we missed? Or if you've got any ideas for a story, a subject, or someone we should be interviewing on future podcasts, please let us know. You can reach me, Stephanie Selesnik, at www.internationaltradeinformation.com or Anthony at
www.arc-imedia.com. So talk to us. Don't forget to rate us, and a happy new year.